Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Katie sitting in for Joe. We want to go now to Martin in Wexford. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah. Martin, you of course had a huge response last Friday to calls about people confronting people fly tipping and dropping litter. You have a story in that line.
Yeah, some years back now, it's about 4 or 5 years back at least, and one day I was looking at cattle in a field, and just as I was walking over along to the road, a school bus came up the road. I knew this school bus. It was a regular occurrence, the school bus passing by my gate heading for a country school to pick up children and bring them home. And the next thing, the bus slowed up very slow, and I was just wondering why it slowed up. And the door opened, and out came a bag. I didn't know whether it was rubbish or what it was at the time. It just came straight out and into the ditch, and the bus went on. So when I came out of the field, I just went over to where this bag of rubbish was on the road, and I opened it and saw it was rubbish, and picked up the bag, brought it with me, and I knew the school bus would be a regular every evening, so the next evening I watched out for it coming up the road, and as it was approaching my gate, I drove out with a tractor onto the road in front of it and just drove slowly along so the bus had to slow up and then stop the tractor. I got down off of the tractor, took out the bag of rubbish and walked over to the door of the bus. Now, I don't know if the driver had seen the bag in my hand at this stage. It was kind of hidden by the tractor. He was on the other side and I was on the left-hand side. So he opened the door and I just landed the bag of rubbish in on his knees. And I said, this fell off your bus going up the road yesterday evening. And if it ever happens again, I said, I won't stop at this. And with that, he just closed the door and went on. Now, we had no children on the bus. He was going to collect children from school at the time.
And was that the same, like there was no children on the bus either when the rubbish emerged from the bus the previous day?
No, he would be on his way to collect the children from school.
Right. And how did he react to you when you threw the bag back into him?
Well, he was just completely embarrassed. It was he had no better expression on his face. He was completely red-faced and embarrassed. And he knew he was caught red-handed. And he didn't want to get into a conversation, obviously, with me. He had no defence. Because he had no escape, he was caught there, and I don't know what argument he could put up. It was the same bag back into the bus.
And yeah. We talked to a lot of people on Friday who sort of saw something happening in front of them and reacted really spontaneously, but you put a bit of thought into this because you had a whole day to think about what you were going to do.
Yeah, and I could see the bus from almost a mile away when it would be approaching, because I'm on kind of high ground and I could see the road where he would turn onto our road and pass by the house, and I was well prepared for it. But it's an ongoing thing with rubbish. It's run into ditches along the road and even over ditches into fields where you have cattle. Which, you know, it's difficult enough to look after and keep the health of cattle right without running into a problem with eating something. It's very often when you're mowing grass for silage or that, you will find chopped up tins or, you know, old beer tins or whatever thrown in over ditches. And when the mower or the machine harvests the silage, it will mince that up and it can go into the feed and it's highly dangerous.
I can only imagine, yeah, that can't be a good thing. We hear all the time about all the sea mammals that are being found with plastic in their stomachs, but you could end up actually feeding your own animals plastic without realising it.
Well, it's apart from feeding the plastic, it's what would be more likely to cause hardship to the animal. You know, if they eat chopped up tins or something like that, it's going to cause immediate trouble. It's not going to be something that will get to the food chain because the animal will die and that's it. And we often from time to time have mysterious injuries in animals. You'll wonder why, but I often wonder, is it related to dumping rubbish and throwing rubbish over ditches? you know, people should be, it's tough enough with it, trying to keep your animals right without this kind of carry-on. You'll notice at the moment when hedgerows are cut, from now on, the farmers will be cutting their hedgerows along by the road from the 1st of September on. And you will see a mount of rubbish in the ditches and all kinds of rubbish of every sort. And a lot of people now in the country are making the effort to go along and pick up somebody else's rubbish and bag it and get rid of it. Like, we use bins ourselves, even in the country. The farmers use bins. They don't even burn the rubbish. They leave out the bins at their gates, the very same as the people in the towns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose that's a relatively new responsibility that farmers are taking on, that they're now on bin routes and that.
Yeah.
And tell me, had you ever confronted anyone before, Martin?
No, I never. Well, I never got anybody as red-handed as that. I wouldn't confront somebody unless I really knew they were guilty. You know, I've never seen anybody in the act of. I've seen cars and that going the road, and you'd see something come out of a window or something like that. But I've never confronted anybody, no. I never saw anybody do something as dramatic as throwing out a bag of rubbish.
But you're glad you did it this time, anyway.
Yes. Can I make a point there about, do you know this beef thing going on at the moment, Katie? Can I make a point about that from the moment?
Well, very quickly, Martin.
Yeah, it's just there at the moment. The complaints about beef prices and everything. I have a graph here in front of me at the moment which shows the prices of beef for the last week in Ireland. And Ireland is the lowest priced beef on the graph compared to any other country in Europe. And this is a trend ongoing the whole time. And it's never highlighted by anybody that we, some years back, were asked to do quality beef to cut out all hormones, antibiotics, and try and have beef retained for 30, up from at least 60, 70 days on farms. We had to do a lot of adjustments to adhere to the rules and regulations and inspections. And we're doing it to the letter of the law.
But you're not getting paid for it. You're not getting paid for it.
Here we are. I'm looking at a graph here which shows we're actually a lower price than Australia and USA, Netherlands, Germany, Italy, France, Great Britain, and Northern Ireland.
Okay, Martin, we want to stick with our topic.
As I
do
appreciate that point.
Of course, yeah. No, I appreciate we're hearing some fairly ugly scenes from some of those protests outside the processing plants today.
So on the news, I just want to make the point. That there is a lot of things going wrong that has to be looked into and explained.
Okay, Martin. Listen, thanks for that. Thanks for that call.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you.
I want to move on to Sheila. Sheila Layden, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie.
How are you?
I have an incident. Now, this happened a number of years ago. We actually had butter banks in my area where I live. Indeed, we actually ended up having to get rid of them. Asked the council to remove them because they were being abused. And this particular day, I got a phone call, as I am very involved in our residence committee.
Just to let people, you're in Sligo, is it, Sheila?
Yes, I'm in Sligo, yes.
Okay.
And somebody rang and said, there's actually somebody here with wheelie bins emptying out cans. So I went to the area. And I know this probably sounds awful mean. I waited until he had them all emptied and he had the wheelie bins back in his car. When I got out and I said to him, what do you think you're doing? Now, this was commercial because it wasn't from a private house. I knew him and I knew he worked for a restaurant in town.
Right.
And he said, well, the bins are full. And I said to him, but when your bin is full at home in Kevinsford, you dump the rest of your rubbish out in the lawn. So then clearly he knew that I knew who he was. So I said, you may pick up every single bit of it. And he was about 6'4" and I'm 5'1". So I stood there and he picked up. He had to put the whole lot back in his bins, which took him ages because they were flying around the car park as well. But I can assure you he never came back with them.
But you must have a fierce, voice of authority. If you 5'1" persuaded a 6'4" man to pick up every single one of those cans.
I think it was the fact that he knew that I knew who he was and he didn't know me. I think that put the fear of God in him. No, he picked up, in fairness, those bins are not for commercial use. I'm 99% certain they're actually for household use. And if you have a business anyway, you know how business people pay a certain amount for a week to have their bins collected every single week. They are not meant for commercial use at all. Can you imagine the volume of cans?
I was just going to say you couldn't. Yeah, you couldn't be. If those were used for commercial purposes, there'd be no. There'd be no emptying them. They'd be full the whole time.
And actually, people do, because I've often seen at different bottle banks around the place where you'd see boxes and boxes of empty bottles left. And unless somebody had some massive party, clearly they're coming from maybe from pubs or that. I'm not so sure where they're coming from, but I can assure you that that particular gentleman, he did not come back after that incident.
I have to say, Sheila, I'm incredibly impressed with the number of people who are willing to, you know, confront people in these circumstances. And they all, I mean, largely, I think we've had one case where the person who'd made this, tried to, you know, make a case in this line, got abused for it. But in most cases, people seem to respond and, you know, pick up their own rubbish. Were you at all kind of concerned that he mightn't respond that way?
No, I wasn't, because it was the car park of our local shopping centre. And yes, verbally he might have responded negatively, but he didn't. And if he did, that's fine. I'd be well able to take him on in that regard. If it was down the side road somewhere on my own, it might be slightly different. But, you know, it was quite a public area, really. And obviously other people could see quite clearly what he was doing, but nobody actually confronted him. I got the phone call, would I come down? Which I did. And I said, well, I'll wait now until he's finished. Which sounds very mean, but I did. and he had just the second bin back in his hatchback when I pounced. And I said, what do you think you're doing? So I know that part of it sounds very mean, but I couldn't resist. Because he knew well he should not dump them out there.
And you felt you were on the side of the angels?
I was fine. I wasn't one bit worried.
Right. Okay.
But I mean, I have been involved in the tidy towns here in Sligo, and now this year I haven't been, but for the three previous years I have. And I will have to say, since the Sligo Tidy Towns Committee was formed, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, definitely the amount of litter that we would pick up on a Sunday has reduced a lot. People have got more litter conscious, but that is not saying that fly tipping and actual dumping of household rubbish has improved one bit, because I don't think it has.
So what you're saying, you reckon the casual, somebody, you know, discarding something,
a bottle, some food wrapper, or a bottle, whatever,
that's improved. But
I think that has improved, yes, thanks to a good awareness campaign by the Sligo County Council and Sligo Tidy Towns.
But there's still a lot of dumping going on out there.
The dumping, I think, is an awful problem.
Okay, well, stay on the line there, because we've got Catherine. Catherine, you're in Dublin, are you, Catherine?
Hi, Katie. Hello. Yes,
How
I am.
How are you?
I'm in Clondalkin Village.
Okay, well, tell us your story.
Okay, I was stopped at traffic lights behind a car just in the front of our supermarket in the middle of our beautiful village of Clondalkin. And this car proceeded to open the windows and throw the whole contents of what looked like a McDonald's meal. You know, there were cups and there were boxes from the burgers. And I just said, out, turned off the engine, out, picked it up. Her window was down and I just said, I think you forgot this. And I threw it in on top of her because I was afraid the lights were going to change. Now, at the time I did it, I wasn't a bit afraid. But when I got back into the car and I started to shake, I said, holy God. You know, and he didn't start. The car didn't start. And he eventually did, when the lights, you know, were green, he went very, very slowly through the village. And they dropped out, the passenger, who was a girl, dropped out one piece of rubbish at a time the whole way around the village.
Oh, that was some response
yes,
to you.
And your last lady there, is it Sheila?
Sheila, yeah.
The last lady, yes. Yeah. She was fantastic, Sheila. Well done. And I really think that we have to stand up and stop people doing this. We just have to. I know it's a lot of it is about education. You know, just education, education and more education. But my village is beautiful. And like Sheila, we have the most wonderful tidy towns. People, they go out every Tuesday, every Saturday. You see them even out, you know, in the middle of the week, in their own time, with the bags. And as I walk, I bring a bag with me and I pick up anything I can find as well. My village is beautiful and this is just unacceptable.
And what age profile were these people in the car?
They weren't teenagers now. They were probably in their 20s. A young man and a girl.
Just a couple?
Yeah, just a couple, but everything they had out onto the main street of my lovely village.
I mean, you say there, Catherine, that people need to be educated, but I mean, who needs to be educated to be told not to throw their food wrappers out the window of their car?
I absolutely agree with you, Katie. I mean, but there has to be some reason. You know, there has to be some reason why somebody would do this. If the parents do it, the children will do it. My children, and I'm sure your children, Katie, and probably Sheila's children, came in with pocket loads of paper every day from school, whatever, their lunch wrappers, whatever, and we put it in the bin in my home because they never saw anybody, you know, in our family or even in our village at the time, drop rubbish.
So yeah, I mean, I do think that actually young children now are very, very litter conscious. I mean, they're kind of horrified at the notion that anyone would drop litter. So
they are, Katie, and I think it has come to the stage where these little ones will be saying to their mommy and daddy, no, you can't do that. You've got to pick that up and put it in the bin. And that's wonderful. You know, we will have to do something like that. You know, we have a beautiful country and we've got lazy, lazy people. Lazy, dirty people.
And we have some great people as well, like yourself going around with a bag picking up other people's rubbish, Catherine.
We have. But just talking about the subject matter today, it's just on my mind. And listen, by the way, thank you so much. You're doing a great job with Joe Away. It's lovely to have a change every now and again.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that, Catherine. And thank you, Sheila. We'll take
Katie, yes. Before I go,
yes,
on
Sheila.
Another note, as a fellow Kerry person.
Oh, yeah.
Are you very disappointed with yesterday?
I'm thrilled. I was thrilled that we got nearly made it over the line. But we live to fight another day, Sheila. Don't give up yet.
I think the Dubs believed the hype.
They did. And that was our advantage. I have to go to a break, Sheila. Thanks for that.
Okay.
And thank you, Catherine.
All right.
51551 is our text number.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Going back to our earlier issue there about people dumping illegally and littering and all of that. Edgar Hall, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. I wasn't expecting to speak with such a lovely lady this afternoon.
Well, I'm sure you're lovely yourself, Edgar. tell us your story.
Well, my story is we used to live in Ferndale Road in Rathmichael, which is all big houses.
Beautiful place,
and
yes.
Forever we were getting black bags tipped over the hedge into the garden. But one day my daughter saw this cardboard box that was moving. And she said, what the dickens? So she went and opened the box. And there were seven little miniature pug pups in the box.
Seven pug puppies.
Seven pug puppies.
Wow.
So, you know, what is the mentality of people who would do that?
Indeed.
You know, it's strange.
And were they like newborns? Were they?
Oh, I would say they were 6 or more weeks old because we were able to keep one. And we sent the rest to Dogs Trust. And they took them in and looked after it, you know.
Right, so they were actually in okay condition then if they were...
They were. Somebody just didn't bother the backside to go to Dogs Trust or do the thing that is proper. They just took the shortcut and dumped them over the hedge.
God, this is incredible to think that somebody would have... as you say, wouldn't just go that extra mile to the RSPCA or Dogs Trust in that scenario.
And I believe there's a lot of dogs, especially in January and February, in roads like Ferndale Road, where there's not much traffic, not much people. We've had injured dogs, pups, just no collars, no chip, dropped on the side of the road. And you have to go, and I don't know how many times I've taken in dogs that way and brought them up to Dogs Trust.
And in this case, with this whole box of pups, were you able to make any inquiries? Was there any notion at all about where they might have come from?
Nobody had any idea. And you don't. I mean, you can, in January and February, in Christmas time, people get pups for children. Then they can't manage them, and they just look for the quickest exit of how to get rid of them.
But this is obviously a litter, wasn't it?
This was a litter.
Would it have been a case that somebody would have known that you were an animal lover, and that they were maybe that you would take them in, and that you were a good person to leave them with?
Well, I don't think so, because where they were left and where my daughter found them, I wouldn't think there would have been any relationship between anybody or thoughts that way. It's just pure skullduggery, nonsense, that people would think of doing something like that. And, you know, but it's the amount of other strays and dogs that are just dumped off. Those seven pups were lucky. They were caught. But what about the ones that are dumped in January and February after Christmas? I don't know why people take in or adopt dogs or pups and then abandon them. Just gets me major.
Indeed. Edgar, well, I'm glad that the pups found you. If they were going to be dumped in anyone's garden, that was yours. Thank you for calling in with that.
I just called to have people be aware that, you know, it's a lovely little pup and a child. Oh, daddy, mummy, I want that pup. Think twice.
Indeed. Think twice. I think that is all we have time for now. The Harry Booklist was on sound. Laura Lee Davis is the BCO, and Fergus Sweeney produced, and Ray Darcy is next.